Dark's at it!
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I said, I don't believe in hell, but we could sell it. Tell them we're the anointed agents of salvation. Sinners. The only way to be forgiven is if you're living within a system of precepts and suppositions that we prescribe. Tell them a book that was assembled by the Nicene Council from a hodgepodge of religious text was literally written by God. Think for yourself and burn in hell. Inferno blazes, ignites hair, singes bone, melts faces into the faceless. We alone determine what faith is. Heaven may or may not exist, but they need to believe. We own the keys to eternal peace. Christ said, the only way to the Father is through me, and the only way to Christ is through us. Plus, tell him there's a demon powerful enough to the Father, Almighty Creator, and we're the ordained soul negotiators, and they will pay us to save them from hell, which I don't believe in. But we can sell it. I mean, they're already scared. They're already living amongst violence, disease, decadence, and fear. They're already living amongst rank smells, garbage, ghetto slums. This is hell on earth. And the key to our influence and convince them that their afterlife can be even worse. I mean, it's the oldest game in the world, so we might as well keep playing it. Just like the Egyptian god, amen, ain't got nothing to do with Christianity, but it works, so we keep saying it. Just like the Old Testament has about as much to do with the news as it has to do with the Quran. As it has to do with hellish wars like the Crusades and the conflict in Vietnam. Tell them God commanded tyrants to destroy entire societies and leave no man, woman, or child behind. Don't allow them to know that God is love. Tell them God is vindictive and jealous. Tell them God ain't for the peaceful and the tolerant. God is for the superficial, self-righteous zealots in which the simple and judgmental are relished. Well, I do not believe in hell, gentlemen. But I promise you, we can sell it.
This is the conspiratorial view of history, as opposed to the accidental view. And it is the conspiratorial view that we shall present in this program.
We began with an extreme weather alert. Why? Because check this out.
A gift weather-wise today.
A lot of terms are being thrown out there, like atmospheric bomb, superstorm.
Cone of uncertainty.
Spaghetti model.
Storm surge.
The hybrid storm.
Hurricane Sandy.
November surprise.
Can you help us understand what we're actually going to experience?
A monster.
Monster. Monster storm.
Halloween scare like last year.
Weather hybrid thing that the weirdos have dubbed Frankenstorm.
Frankenstorm.
Something we can't take lightly, obviously.
This goes that way, that goes that way. Does that mean people are going like this? What's happening now?
This is a very serious storm, guys.
The sand traps and the weeds and the water and, well, the sharks falling from the sky.
Mm-hmm. If that sounds scary, I'm glad you're scared.
How much of it is hype on this storm and how much of it is very real?
It's going to affect hundreds of miles of coastline and tens of millions of people.
Sandy could be targeting Florida, Georgia, New York, and New Jersey, Connecticut, and up into New England.
Those beaches, world of hurt.
Rob was saying in his lifetime he's never seen anything like this.
An event that we have not seen in our lifetime.
Once in a lifetime storm.
Come on. No, okay. I'm serious. I am being serious.
I would use the terms devastating and historic.
Your Tuesday morning commute could be a real headache.
And this storm is just going to get bigger.
Be prepared to stay in your house with your family and kids.
That could actually impact the early voting.
It could impact the real voting.
This storm could sway the outcome of the presidential election.
So everyone should go vote if you can, now.
Or get yourself ready for this huge storm.
School kids didn't have to worry because they're off today. Down in Florida, you don't have snow days, you get hurricane days.
Oh my God, seriously?
Obviously, all of us across the country are concerned about the potential impact of Hurricane Sandy. This is a serious and big storm.
Seriously?
And my first message is to all people across the Eastern Seaboard, Mid-Atlantic, going north, that you need to take this very seriously.
Oh my God, seriously?
Seriously?
I say, oh my God, seriously?
Seriously?
Oh my God, seriously?
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 Sounds like.
And follow the instructions of your state and local officials because they are going to be providing you with the best advice in terms of how to deal with this storm over the coming days.
This is getting way too complicated for me.
We just had an excellent meeting with the FEMA team here, the various agencies that are in charge, including the Department of Defense, Department of Energy, and others that are going to need to respond very quickly. Under Craig Fugate's leadership here at FEMA.
Now you know that guy ain't shit. Sorry ass motherfucker, got nothing on me, right? Nothing.
We've had a chance to talk to the regional officials as well, and I just had a phone call with the governors of potentially impacted states, as well as some of the major cities in the region. At this stage, everybody is confident that the staging process, the pre-positioning of resources, commodities, equipment that are going to be needed to respond to the storm are in place. But as Craig has emphasized, this hasn't hit landfall yet, so we don't yet know where it's going to hit, where we're going to see the biggest impacts, and that's exactly why it's so important for us to respond big and respond fast as local information starts coming in. I want to thank all the members of the team for the outstanding work that they're doing, but the other thing that makes this storm unique is we anticipate that it is going to be slow moving.
Seriously?
There are white folks, and then there are ignorant motherfuckers like you.
That means that it may take a long time not only to clear, but also to get, for example, the power companies back in to clear trees and to put things back in place so that folks can start moving back home. So my main message to everybody involved is that we have to take this seriously.
Oh my God, seriously.
Seriously?
I say, oh my God, seriously.
Seriously?
Oh my God, seriously?
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 Sounds like.
The federal government is working effectively with the state and local governments. It's going to be very important that populations in all the impacted states take this seriously.
Seriously?
Listen to your state and local elected officials. My message to the governors, as well as to the mayors, is anything they need, we will be there.
You ain't my bitch, nigga. Buy your own damn fries.
And we're going to cut through red tape. We're not going to get bogged down with a lot of rules. We want to make sure that we are anticipating and leaning forward into making sure that we've got the best possible response to what is going to be a big and messy system. So, again, thank you, everybody. Craig, would you like to add something?
Now, again, as the President says, it's going to really come down to the public heeding those evacuation orders, taking protective measures. If they haven't gotten ready, they can go to ready.gov, get information on how to protect them and their families, but also check on your neighbors. This is going to be a big storm. We need to be there for each other.
Okay. Let me emphasize that again. Ready.gov for the general public. If you need to know how to respond, that's where you can get centralized information. But I think Craig's point is exactly right. In times like this, one of the things that Americans do is we pull together and we help out one another. And so there may be elderly populations in your area. Check on your neighbor, check on your friend, make sure that they're prepared. If we do, then we're going to get through this storm just fine. But we're going to have to make sure that we are vigilant and vigilant for a couple of days. Don't anticipate that just because the immediate storm has passed, that we're not going to have some potential problems in a lot of these communities going forward through the week.
Sure, you can have my number, baby.
Oh my God, seriously?
Ladies and gentlemen, party people in the place to be. All you listeners, don't you know the time has come for you and me to understand the upcoming switch? So let us all wish the Harley Digit will start a new era for the next 1,000 years. Let it switch for the good, not for the worse. Cause it takes more than you or me to save everybody. Ladies number one, heading for number two. I know and you know what to do, what to do, what to do, what to do.
Security cameras capture the moment a truck smashes through the front window of a gas station in West Michigan. One of the two men wearing hoodies inside the truck jumps out before grabbing items from the convenience store. He even climbs over the bonnet of the makeshift battering ram as he searches the shop for cigarettes and alcohol. As the Ford F-250 truck leaves the store, the engine's heard revving up outside before one of the men returns to grab a few more bottles.
To judging drunk driving cases. Now a Snohomish County judge is facing DUI charges himself. The Herald reports the State Patrol stopped District Court Judge Timothy Ryan late last week. The trooper says he saw the 65-year-old drifting outside of his lane and speeding. The trooper stopped Ryan, noticed he smelled of alcohol, had slurred speech and bloodshot eyes. He refused a breathalyzer and field sobriety test. He was then arrested, his car impounded. In our state, your license can be suspended for 2 years if you refuse to take a breathalyzer. Toxicology results confirm it was alcohol poisoning that killed a Bellingham Middle School student. Hazel Fair had a blood alcohol level higher than 0.40. That's five times higher than the legal limit for driving. 4 weeks ago, the 14-year-old eighth grader came home at 2 a.m. She went right to bed. When her mom checked on her at 6 a.m., she did not respond. When paramedics arrived, they could not revive her. Detectives say she had been at a party. Now they're trying to figure out who gave her the alcohol.
The Washington Post is reporting that a group of experts on the Maya got together and they agreed that the Mayan calendar does not say the world will end in 2 months. And that's despite many claims and rumors to the contrary and even the movie 2012, which was arguably worse than a planet-ending cataclysm. But despite the fact that the Maya did not predict it, there does seem to be a lot of signs that mankind is about to tap out. And I know you think that I'm going to point to rising sea levels or volatile economies or mass extinctions, or the fact that we now put sweaters on our dogs and leashes on our kids, but no. I'm going to point to a story out of Tennessee where a college kid was hospitalized for alcohol poisoning last week after giving himself a beer enema. That's right. Butt-chugging. There is perhaps nothing that laughs in the face of evolution more than the most advanced beings in the solar system pouring beer up our asses in order to get drunk faster. Opposable thumbs, standing erect, large brains, this looks them all in the eye and says, "Nay, I have no use for thee. I will do a handstand rather than standing erect. I will then take my opposable thumbs and use them to dump booze in my butt. I will then get so plastered that I will reduce this large brain to a shriveling mess of incoherent mush. Darwin can suck it. I will call up my fraternity brethren and say, 'Hey, fellas, what do you say we invite some ladies over, put on a little John Mayer, break out the Jenga, and then take turns shit-gunning Bud Light.'" Need more proof that humankind should clock out? Elsewhere on the planet, incredibly rich elite pricks are partaking in a different kind of ass drinking. Apparently, the most expensive coffee in the world is made from the feces of a cat-like animal called a civet. Basically, the animal eats the coffee beans, digests them, deposits them out the other end, at which time workers, who I imagine aren't paid nearly enough, collect the droppings and then sell the turd espresso to millionaires for $200 a bag. We have gotten to the point where grotesquely rich people are paying $200 for a cup of poop to drink. Where is that on the Mayan calendar? Tell you what, Mrs. Rockefeller, I'll supply you with a homemade, locally grown cup full of fish for half that price. I believe it was Aristotle who said, "When you start drinking cat poop, call it a day for your species." We had a good run. We achieved a lot. The wheel, space travel, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. It was fun. It was a razzmatazz. But it might be time to put us out to pasture. Apparently, we're so bored and out of ideas that we're drinking up our butts and drinking out of other creatures' butts. Plus, you gotta wonder how many turds of other types of animals they tried to make into coffee, and then we're like, "Nope, that is not it. That is not it." Plus, 1,000 Americans die each year from autoerotic asphyxiation, choking themselves during masturbation. Apparently, jacking off and choking yourself as separate activities have lost their luster. We are bored, stupid, and aimless. We're numbed, backwards, and pointless. We've done it all, seen it all, f***ed it all, and smoked it all. All right? Maybe the Mayan did not make a prediction that mankind is ending this year, but maybe it was a suggestion.
You know, you can kill things and still like them.
Drunken Junkin' is an annual world championship competition that puts homemade catapults to the test.
It's a fight to see how far a pumpkin can be chunked. A York County man is headed to the event in Delaware, hoping that his team wins the grand prize. Fox 43's Amber Miller joins us in Chanceford Township with his story.
The goal is to launch a pumpkin hundreds of feet into the sky using a giant catapult. The farthest distance takes home top prize.
Yeah! 3, 2, 1,
practice makes perfect. Jim Fuller, better known as Fat Jimmy, and his team High Times meet at a field in Chanceford Township. launching pumpkins high into the sky, preparing for the human-powered catapult division of the World Championship Pumpkin Chunkin' Competition. Fuller first used this catapult, half a bubble off, last year, only launching a pumpkin 150 feet.
We're on these things week in, week out, to build one, to get it there. This year already in practice, we've thrown 800 feet.
Fuller is also part of Team Destroyer, also out of York County. It's placed second and third during past world championships. Fuller hopes either team will break the current world record of launching a pumpkin 1,984 feet. 1,984 feet.
I know it's 2012, but it sure feels like 1984 in this house today.
I'm supporting Richard Murdoch for Senate.
Just when Republicans thought they'd slammed the door in the so-called war on women, Richard Murdoch may have kicked it right back open.
Even when life begins in that horrible situation of rape, it is something that God intended to happen.
Pregnancies resulting from rape are a gift from God.
Perhaps God intended rape.
What?
Richard Murdoch was not saying that rape is what God intends.
God wants people raped, of course not.
He was talking about the life that results of that.
Get your butt out there and say something.
I made a comment that I made, quite honestly, from the deepest roots and the greatest base of my faith. Point number two, I abhor any kind of sexual violence. God doesn't want evil, but occasionally it happens. Lastly, I have a much more humble person this morning. Lastly, I would say, that's what's wrong with Washington today. It is win at any cost. And just one last comment, anyone who goes to the videotape and views that understands fully what I meant.
Apologizing for the way it was interpreted, but not for the actual statement.
That's correct.
Richard Murdoch in Indiana.
You saw how quickly Mitt Romney disassociated himself from Murdoch.
Governor Romney disagrees with Richard Murdoch's comments, and they do not reflect his views.
Mitt Romney talks out of all sides of his mouth. He will say anything that will get him elected.
Mitt's man Murdoch apes Aiken.
This is not similar to what Aiken said.
Aiken talked about a magical uterus that could prevent pregnancy after rape.
Don't expect Republicans to throw Murdoch under the bus like they did Aiken.
I do not understand why men decide women's rights when they have no idea what it means to be raped or to be a woman.
Oh my God, seriously?
God distances himself from the Christian right. The latest study finds that cancer cells are now cruelly mocking researchers. And Donald Trump announces he's a very sad man. Following the completion of three presidential debates and one vice presidential debate, a nationwide Gallup tracking poll conducted this week found that all registered voters in the United States now consider themselves undecided. According to the data, 100% of women, men, African Americans, seniors, Tea Party activists, and members of every other category feel uncomfortable supporting either campaign in the November 6 election following their performances in the debates.
After seeing these men conduct themselves in simple one-on-one exchanges, I honestly couldn't tell you who's stronger on any issue, much less who could run the country better. The only thing I can really say for certain is that I would honestly prefer if both candidates never talked again.
Campaign sources told reporters today that Mitt Romney is absolutely terrified of what would happen if he ever stopped running for president. Romney, who reportedly spends sleepless nights contemplating the disturbing prospect of someday not campaigning for the White House, has expressed his fears of both winning and losing the upcoming election, especially if it means he will never be able to be a presidential candidate ever again.
What you have to understand is that Governor Romney has little experience talking and relating to people without asking them for a vote or a donation to his campaign. Right now, he's grappling with losing his entire identity. Sometimes Mitt gets so wound up, the only way we're able to calm him down is by reminding him that he could lose the election and start planning his run for 2016. It's the only thing that makes him feel better.
In other news, a chapter on the failed U.S. education system is added to the newest edition of a social studies textbook. The comprehensive new chapter examines the multiple failures of the education system, with sections on standardized testing, profiles of incompetent teachers, and an entire page devoted to No Child Left Behind. Spokespeople for publisher McGraw-Hill told reporters they felt the need to teach students about the truly ineffectual nature of the entire education system. According to current estimates, 98% of public schools will be unable to afford the new textbook.
dropped out of college because they thought it was stupid. And they're that sort of people. We would call them perhaps beatniks. But you see, the city doesn't like it because they aren't owning the right sort of cars, and therefore the local car salesman isn't doing business through them. They don't have lawns, and so nobody can sell them lawnmowers. They hardly use dishwashers, appliances of that kind. They don't need them. And also they wear blue jeans and things like that, and so the local dress shops feel a bit put out having these people around. And they are very simply. Well, you mustn't do that. You've got to live in a complicated way. You've got to have the kind of car, you know, that identifies you as a person of substance and status and all that. So there's a great problem here in our society. Now, why is there this problem? There's always a very inconsiderable minority of these non-joiners or people who check out of the game. But you will find that insecure societies are the most intolerant of those who are non-joiners. They are so unsure of the validity of their game rules that they say everyone must play.
A Brazilian family had the shock of their lives when the relative they thought they were burying turned up to his own funeral. Gilberto Araujo's family had mistakenly identified a murdered local man as him.
When I walked through the door and I saw the coffin, I was a bit flabbergasted. I asked, "What is this?" And they said it was a service for me. And I said to them, "I'm alive. I'm not dead."
Having heard a rumor his funeral was taking place, Gilberto even tried to call someone at the wake, but they dismissed his call as a prank.
There was no way to tell the difference because they were actually very similar, so I confirmed it was actually my brother and brought the body home.
In the end, Gilberto was left with no choice but to turn up to the wake himself.
I saw people screaming, "Gilberto is alive, he's alive." One of the guys was even a bit drunk and said, "I told you I saw the body moving in the coffin."
In Long Beach, California, are now looking for the person who set a man on fire. Now, I should warn you, this surveillance video is disturbing. It shows a man sitting on the ground there on the left, waiting for a family member. Right here, there's a flash. There's a baby stroller with a baby inside right nearby when it happened. You see the mother run in. She pulls the stroller from the flames. Baby's not her. There at the top of your screen, that's the victim. He runs away, covered in flames. He looks like a fireball. Witnesses say the attacker shook a bottle, lit it, threw it right at the victim. Two people pulled that victim from the flames. He suffered serious burns from his waist to his feet. Tonight, that victim is in critical condition, and police don't know what prompted the attack.
Wow.
And I'm out.
A disabled woman says Vancouver police need to treat people with more respect. That's after a surveillance camera caught an officer shoving her to the ground. Now, John Harris spoke to her tonight.
The images are disturbing. The very people in charge of public safety are caught on tape pushing a woman to the ground. Tonight, the victim is speaking out. Sandy has cerebral palsy and walks with a limp. She says she was just heading home when she encountered the officers.
I asked them, "Excuse me, please." And I told them three times I have a disability.
She couldn't believe what happened next.
I reach my hand up because I was trying to get through one person, one of the middle and the third guy, but the tall guy pushed me down.
As Sandy lay on the ground, confused about what happened, she says the officers did nothing to help.
SWAT team response in Sumner that ended with one man dead. I'm Matt Lorch.
And I'm Marnie Hughes. Police were called out to the home of a 47-year-old man after they say he called 911 this afternoon and was threatening to take his own life. Cops say the man locked himself inside, then came out about 90 minutes later, pointed a weapon at them. Officers ordered him to drop it, but he refused. A SWAT team member did fire a shot. The man was killed. A neighbor says the man had just moved into the house about 3 months ago.
And I heard them start to say, hey, put your gun down, put your gun down. And then it was pause, pause, and then I hear a shot.
Gunshots. Bang, 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 bang.
You know, pow, 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 pow. And then I hear over the radio, suspect down. And he drops.
Did San Antonio police officers use excessive force on a pregnant woman?
That's what the department is looking into tonight after a Fox San Antonio viewer shot this video. In it, you see three officers holding down a pregnant woman. One of those officers hits her repeatedly. Grace White explains why the chief of police is standing by his officers. It's a video you will only see on Fox.
It was the sound of a woman screaming that caught Lorenzo Rios' attention.
All I heard was her yelling to get off me. I heard her yell that I'm pregnant.
So he started to record this video with his cell phone.
She was already cuffed and they started to beat her, which I don't think was pretty much right. It was like pretty messed up because she was already down and she was pretty small compared to the other officers.
According to a police report, 21-year-old Destiny Rios was arrested for prostitution and resisting arrest.
At west, the long arm of the war is reaching out and closing in on you, you screwy wabbit.
Jump, jump.
New York City police officer is under arrest, accused of a bizarre and disturbing plot to kidnap and torture women. According to court papers, Gilberto Valle sent numerous emails to another person outlining plans to kidnap women, torture them, then cook and eat their body parts. Investigators found a list of at least 100 women with photos and home addresses on his home computer at his apartment building. Police say there's no evidence Valle hurt anyone.
More American servicemen have
are dying from suicide over there than are dying in combat.
I mean, that's shocking, isn't it?
Well, I think it's good. It's so clear that we're programmed and we're born to love and help each other, not to kill each other, destroy each other. That's an aberration. That's left over from hundreds of years ago. It's time for us to start acting enlightened.
I mean, that's shocking, isn't it?
Well, I think it's good.
Tim, what do you think America's place in the new world order should be? It's always been seen as the global policeman. But as you said before, you know, it's hard to see with all these military conflicts where the winner and loser lies. What should America be doing globally?
I think the global policeman should be the United Nations.
Not doing it will be catastrophic. We'll have 8 degrees, we'll be 8 degrees hotter in 30 or 40 years, and basically none of the crops will grow. Most of the people who have died, and the rest of us will be cannibals. Most of the people who have died, and the rest of us will be cannibals.
And the rest of us will be cannibals.
Civilization will have broken down. What the few people that are left will be living in a failed state like Somalia or Sudan.
And the rest of us will be cannibals.
And living conditions will be intolerable. The droughts will be so bad there'll be no more corn growing.
And the rest of us will be cannibals.
Not doing it is suicide. Suicide! Just like dropping bombs on each other, nuclear weapons is suicide. So we've got to stop doing the two suicidal things, which are hanging on to our nuclear weapons.
And global emissions.
And then after that, we've got to stabilize the population.
And the rest of us will be cannibals.
So what's wrong with the population? I mean,
we're too many people.
And the rest of us will be cannibals.
That's why we have global warming. Too many people are using too much stuff. But if there were less people, they'd be using less stuff. If we don't get global warming and the nuclear weapons straight out, we don't have to worry about human rights. Most of the people who have died, and the rest of us will be cannibals.
That's not true!
At some point in the year 2011, the Earth will hold 7 billion people on its surface. More people than any point in recorded history. While some welcome this latest member of humanity with excitement, others with fear. When people hear that we've been adding 1 billion people every 15 years, they imagine humanity's growth to look something like this. But 1 billion people isn't as high a percentage of humanity as it used to be. For instance, imagine this roller coaster car represents 1 billion people. If we add another car, or 1 billion more people, our train has doubled in length. But if we want to double the train again, we can't just add one more train car. We'd have to add two. Every time we make the train longer, one train car represents a smaller and smaller percentage of the train. If it takes 15 years to add each new train car, then mathematically speaking, the growth rate is slowing. In order for the growth rate to stay constant, the train would have to keep doubling every 15 years, instead of just adding one car. Human population growth is the same way. In 1804, the world's population hit 1 billion. By 1927, that number had doubled. But by 1960, that number had only grown by half. By 1975, it was only growing by a third, and then a fourth, and then a fifth. To see how population growth is slowing down, we look at a number called the global total fertility rate, which is the average number of children each woman is having. And over the last 40 years, that rate has been rapidly falling. According to the UN's current data, the world's population is due to peak in 25 years. After it peaks, it will start to go down. By the end of the century, we'll be losing 1 billion people every 20 years. This year, the world's population will hit 7 billion. In 75 years, we'll be back here again. Think about it.
Seriously?
I got me a bed.
shiny badge. I'm painting the grass in yellow and blue. I've got me a club, an exclusive club. Doesn't include a place for you.
Still on tour?
I do, but I don't take it for granted.
Why do you still do it? Why are you still out here?
Well, it goes back to the destiny thing. I mean, I made a bargain with it, you know, a long time ago, and I'm holding up my hand.
What was your bargain?
To get where I am now.
Should I ask who you made the bargain with?
with the chief commander
on this earth,
and this earth, and then in the world we can't see.
Bob Dylan has been
the never-let mother smother the child. The benefactors are in denial.
A suicide bomber has killed at least 41 people outside a mosque in the northern province of Faryab. Dozens of others were injured in the attack. It happened as people were gathering at the mosque in Meymaneh to celebrate the holiday of Eid al-Adha. Top provincial officials were reported to be inside the building when the bomber set off his explosives outside. They were not among those hurt, however. In his Eid address to the nation, the Afghan president, Hamid Karzai, urged Taliban insurgents, as he put it, to stop killing other Afghans. Well, our correspondent in Kabul, Bilal Sarwari, gave me more details on the attack.
Well, there are some reports that the suicide attacker was wearing a police uniform, but the serious question for the Afghan National Security Forces remain, why did he manage to breach several layers of security? The mosque is only 50 meters away from the provincial governor's office. It's a well-known mosque used by senior officials as well as by the residents. And in the last hour or so, we have been told that 14 civilians were among 41 people killed as a result of the attack, and more than 50 are injured.
God to me. But I wanna touch you, now that isn't right. Oh, that can't be right. But I wanna touch you.
Amateur footage from Syria captures the moment a shell hits a residential area in Hamoya. Shot by a resident, the video appears to show warplanes flying over the town, which is east of Damascus, moments before the explosion. The bombing comes the day before a ceasefire is due across Syria during the Muslim holiday of Eid.
At the castle, my room at the top, all sorts allowed, now the clubs are off. The child, the benefactors are in denial. The banality of evil. King of the gods, who room at the tall, off with their heads, chop them all. The banality of evil. Never let mind the smother the child. Perpetrators are in denial.
Thank you.
because everybody is responsible. You mean you may try not to be and avoid it and say, oh, let the senators take care of it or the president. But theoretically, everyone's responsible. Now, that's terrifying. See, it's all right when you know what's right. There is an aristocracy, there is the clergy, and they know what should be done, and they're used to ruling, you see. But now it's in your hands. You say, well, what are we going to do? Well, I think this way, and you think that way, and he thinks the other way. And so we're all unsettled. And therefore, we become more and more conformist. Individualism, rugged individualism, always leads to conformism. Because people get scared. And so they herd together, and it compounded with industrial society, mass production, etc. They all wear the same clothes, and they're sensible clothes that don't show the dirt too much. And we get duller and drabber, and in the practical affairs of everyday life, you get the idea not that everybody is equal in the sight of God, but that all people are equally inferior. And that's why all bureaucracies are rude, why the police are rude, and why you're made to wait in lines and are obstreperous income tax individuals and all that sort of person. Because everybody's a crook. Everybody's equally inferior. See, that becomes the parody of democracy. Even though they don't join our game, they tell us, you see, what you're doing is only a game. It's okay, I'm not going to condemn you, but it is only a game, and we up on that mountaintop are watching you. We love you. We have compassion for you. But excuse, please, we aren't going to join. So that gives the community great strength, because it tells the government, in no uncertain terms, that there's something more than government.
We all live in different realities, there's no doubt about that. They're trying to form a one unified reality, but as we start to look towards what we're trying to actually get to, and that is liberty, freedom, justice for all, which is a global cry. We are now knowing within from all the internet realms that this is a global cry. It doesn't matter if you're in the Netherlands, in Africa, in Peru, or wherever. We're all saying the same thing all over the globe. All over the globe. Namah Shivaya. Om Namo. Om Namo. 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 And so you can't reject anything that comes your way. The universe is trying to speak to you and give you what you need, but you're rejecting it because you think you know what you deserve and what you need, which has all been conditioned and programmed by our culture creators such as Walt Disney, Monsanto, and everyone else. So the answer to our problem is actually invisible, and it is called synchronicity, but it's an answer that no one can show you. No one can show you. And so now we're asking humanity to have faith in humanity when the Dark Brotherhood is making it so impossible to do so. Because we think all of this is our fault. Because we think all of this is our fault. Because we think all of this is our fault. So we need to find that faith in humanity, because listen to all these people that have come out here, every single one of them, a loving, caring, nurturing being that just wants to uplift humanity. Well, that's the majority. Well, that's the majority. Well, that's the majority. The television's telling you the total opposite. Fear those people in a van. Fear, don't go outside. You know, you don't want to be meeting around with people. And that's exactly what you should be doing. And that's exactly what you should be doing. And that's exactly what you should be doing. And the synchronicities will start to unfold, and then you'll actually believe in miracles. Anything that comes your way, go with it, and do it to your fullest. You know, that's my message to the world, because it'll guide you to your soul's purpose. And if you let your light shine, you know, to your fullest when something comes your way, then it'll magnify and become even more than you ever anticipated. And the best thing is that everything's better than you could have ever dreamed it. Everything's better than you could have ever dreamed it. Everything's better than you could have ever dreamed it. And
I know that's a hard message to sell when the BP oil spill, with the volcanoes, with the corruption, with everything that's going down, the police state, you know, all of it. It's hard to tell people to regain their faith in humanity, to forgive the anger that you have for these people that have trespassed on you, and to just start seeking the new existence. But we have to. That's what we have to do. We're the voice now. We're the voice now. We're the voice now.
Do you like being a participant in the watering can of the flowers of freedom throughout the world?
Thinking of all the cool creatures that I will meet tonight. Ghosts and goblins and witches roaming the streets in moonlight. Of candy and goodies, delicious and waiting in store. The sound of cute little footsteps as they approach my front door. Letting the children inside to drink beers. Razor blades hidden in three musketeers. Screams from the basement of kids begging to be set free. That's what Halloween means to me. Tightening the clamps that are holding their little heads so tight. Putting my lips to their ears as I whisper, please, don't fight. I promise to let you go home if you swear not to tell a soul. Well, I'll just untie these. I'm kidding. Now where is my hacksaw? Let's rock and roll. A pinch of your brother, a teaspoon of you, with the head of Carson would make a good stew. I'd give you a taste, but your tongue's in the stew. Irony, that's what Halloween means to me. Trick or treat, smell my feet, give me something good to eat. Trick or treat, smell my feet, give me someone good to
thank you.
Now, go find the others.com.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.